Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how we doing, buddy?
All I want to say to you, Jimmy, is are you ready?
Andy's being
are you ready? Hi, audience. Are you ready? But I will also ask my co-host here, Jimmy, are you ready?
Andy's asking that because I'm having a rough start here. I'm just missing this and that. My notes are misplaced. Andy, I think that means you're going to have to carry the show today. What do you think?
So in our lingo, when you ask, are you ready? You're not actually asking the other person, are they ready? You're actually double checking yourself that you have all your eggs in the basket, sort of like. So when you say, are you ready? That's our cue to like, hold on, let me check. Am I forgetting something? I'm old, you know, et cetera. So I am ready, Jimmy. When you say how I'm doing fine. And I am ready. That's when because I asked you, are you ready?
And Andy, rightfully so, because I always, before we start, I go, okay, are you ready? And today was, are you ready? Oh, shoot. And by the way, I didn't use the word shoot because I wasn't ready. All right, Andy, I'm ready. You're ready. Let's get motoring. Let's get to it here. My topic for today is I want to talk to you about the college football playoff format, okay? I must have sent you about 33 different articles, different opinions on it. But before we get there, just real quick, because I know you didn't get a chance to comment on this, we had the announcement last week of some of the game times. First of all, the worst out-of-conference schedule that I could recall. It's terrible. The only good thing is two out of the three are actually going to be 3:30 games. So we don't have three noon games in a row to start the season.
Right.
But the huge news, Andy, the fourth game, first Big Ten game, it's home against Oregon, and it's going to be a night game whiteout, Andy.
Yeah, it's so as you look at Penn State's 2025 schedule and you look at the expectations and everything that comes with them sort of, you know, being one of those, if not the, you know, nationally recognized as one of the key all-in teams for 2025. First of all, it's the end of September, which is perfect for a night game, right? Like it might be a little cooler and maybe crisp, but it also could be warm. And the day will be, you know, night. So it is an ideal time for a night game. It's the exact opponent it has to be against. The Oregon game, as you look at this schedule, it's the table setter. It puts Penn State in a very different mode the rest of the way for that season. And coming all the way from the West Coast, hey, welcome, Oregon. Welcome to college football HE double toothpicks as an opponent, right? Like, it is the recognizes one of those sort of, you know, college football experiences from a player and fan perspective. The whiteout at Penn State, Oregon gets to experience it. It's a very, very important game. It's the right one. Did they also announce, do they have a stripe out yet? Which is kind of like it, but it's not exactly it's very similar.
Yeah, well, don't get confused. This is terminology. I believe right. The stripe out is blue, white, blue, white, blue,
correct.
White.
But it has a lot of the same elements.
But there's the helmet stripe game, which is the one thin blue stripe along the 50-yard line. So it's 98.8%. Whiteout. Okay.
Right. Okay. So they have they've got they've been wearing the retro uniforms, which are really cool. But whiteout for Oregon, you know, you could call it maybe it's a huge game.
I'm Andy. I'll go a step further. I think it's a must-win game.
So, I am not going to disagree with you. So, Penn State must win this game to put themselves in position to play for the Big Ten championship and still have some room to sort of breathe, right? You could probably lose to Ohio State, which they're kind of prone to do, right? Like, they might have some history of that. You've got some wiggle room. You lose to Oregon and everything becomes a bigger uphill climb. It becomes more difficult. It becomes more, you know, the path to the championship game becomes a little more muddied. It's a more difficult climb. It puts even, you know, the pressure on the Ohio State game becomes double down pressure, right? Like, if there isn't enough because you beat them once in, like, one in 10 in the last 11 games against Ohio State, if I'm not incorrect, but it's one in something that's not a equal ledger on the other side. Whatever it is, it just doubles up the pressure. Yes, Penn State must win this game. It's at home. It's a whiteout. You're going to play them at night. You have a better roster. You have more experience and elite skill players. Go win the football game. It's a must win. Yeah. Okay. You got me, Jimmy. I'm in. You got me. You threw the bait in the water. I was like, I looked at now me. I'm in.
The shark ate it up. You know what, Andy? I'm going to agree with everything you said and every reason you said is true. I'll say it's even a fact. I'm going to go a step further, though. I think this is an issue psychologically for this team. The national perception is that this team can't win a big game. Even when they get to the playoffs and they beat an SMU and a Boise State, the national narrative is, don't care, don't care. We need you to beat somebody named Oregon or Ohio State or Notre Dame or Alabama or Georgia. You've got to beat one of those teams. Or the perception will stay the same among the media, among the fans. But yeah. I think, Andy, and among the team itself and the coach himself, he's got the pressure. Now, here's the thing, though, Andy. And an early point spread came out. And have you seen that early point spread?
No.
Okay. Great. I always ask that because I'm going to allow you to give your guess for early point spread.
For Oregon and Penn State?
Yes.
At Oregon, Penn State. On a stadium renovation whiteout night. Penn State favored 6.
4.5.
4.5.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it changes a bit because it. I think that number may have come out before the whiteout announcement. Yeah. So that might actually, it may stretch out a bit. But here's the thing. At 4.5 points, I'm all over Penn State for this game, Andy.
No. Big game.
I am because I think they know they have to win this game. And you know James Franklin's mantra, 1-0 this week, all we care about is Nevada, Nevada, Nevada.
Yeah.
You know what, Andy? He's lying to you. He's lying to you. Today, what is that? That's 3 months ahead of time. He's prepping for Oregon right now, Andy. Okay?
A little bit. Yeah, I saw you count the months on your finger.
I'm
not going to get away with that. You're not going to let me get away with it.
You're right. A little arithmetic. I need my hands. Thank goodness I didn't have to take off my shoes, get to the toes also.
But there are elements of training camp that you can be preparing yourself for that opponent. I don't disagree.
Everything is pointed to that game. And I've had people already, when I've made that statement, Jim, it doesn't matter if they're undefeated, lose a game, lose two games. They're still in the playoffs. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
Oregon and Ohio State, maybe that argument holds. Not if you're Penn State, though, Andy. Argument doesn't hold water.
No, I don't think it does hold water because, they want to be in the dance, right? Like, I get that, but this team has I think they have different expectations, and you know they should, right? Like, based on their schedule, and they should be looking at it incrementally. And the first step is we want to win the Big Ten championship. You know, last year they played for it, had an opportunity, lost to this Oregon team, which I think is a little card they might play. But I don't subscribe to that. Just get in and have an opportunity. You want to go win. You want to be an alpha. And the Big Ten's got two straight national championships. They're the big dog on the block right now.
Andy, thank you for that alpha comment. I think that right there, I was ready to. I think this team right now is a bit of a head case. Okay.
It's a
psychological
that.
Barrier that they have to get through in winning one of these games. But I think you expressed it better that way. They can be an alpha, and they need to be Oregon. And I will even go so far as to say, if they have the Oregon win under their belt, the margin of error there now, not that it doesn't matter when they play Ohio State, but if they don't beat Ohio State and they finish 11-1 with a win over Oregon, they're fine. They're still alpha status, Andy.
They're what? So in the 12-team college football playoff, and last year, when you looked at them, they were one of those teams, and it helped looking at the alignment of the brackets in their schedule. They were one of those teams that could possibly win the national championship, right? Like,
yes.
That was what you said about Penn State. What you want to say about this Penn State team is, and you want them thinking and believing, is that if somebody wins to win a national championship, then they're going to have to beat us.
Right.
And that's a big difference. Right? And I'm not wrong in saying exactly what they were thinking last year, because they did. They played like it, right? They played like they believed they could win the national championship last year.
But when they ended up losing to Notre Dame, Andy, when I think that they were the better team than Notre Dame, but lost that game, they just kept feeding the narrative that they can't beat a team like that. Well, that's why they have to beat Oregon. And I think this team is prepared to do that, Andy. All right. That's it, Andy, for quarter number one. Quarter two, we are going to get to the college football playoffs. So much talk going in. We're going to get Andy's take when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. And Andy, are you ready?
Yes. You need to answer the question as well.
I am ready also, all Andy. Right. Let's get to our topic of the day, which is the college football playoff format. Just to give the background, we're going to have one more year of the 12-team playoff. The only change that's going to be made is the four teams who automatically get into the five teams into the playoff by winning their leagues. The top four of those five will not get the automatic seeding 1-4. They'll be seeded as they normally would be, which, Andy, I think is a good change. I think college football, everyone will concede that it didn't work correctly last year.
Yeah, no, it 100% didn't, but it's what got us to 12 and got us out of the boardroom, right? Like, that's what needed to happen because of the way look, You win the championship, you punch your ticket. That's no different. You know, that's just like college basketball, right? Like, you know, you punch a ticket. Right. You punch, for a lot of conferences, you punch your ticket by winning your conference.
There should be a route for every team in the country, essentially,
yep,
to get to the playoff. You do this, you'll get there. You'll win. You know, doesn't matter who you are. If you're Vanderbilt and win the Southeast Conference,
you're in.
Correct. If you're Arizona in the Big 12, go undefeated, win the Big 12, you're in.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. There's a route to in, and they're just going to see – the College Football Playoff Committee is going to do not just – what was it? Did they do 6 through 12 last year seeding-wise?
Well, they actually still had to seed those conference winners also, Andy. So
but they were guaranteed one of the top five spots, right?
Right. Yeah. So, Andy, let's get into, though, the conversation happening now is about 2026 and going forward. They're going to expand because – they always expand. They're never going to contract, okay? And they got themselves up to 12. Oh, yeah, so they want more. What was fascinating to me is that there was even a conversation about 14 as opposed to going directly to 16, Andy.
Yeah, no, that was a courtesy conversation. This is going to 16. End of story. It's like, you know, do you want an appetizer? Not really, but I'm going to order one anyway. Let's talk about the 14-team college football playoff. Okay, it's not going to happen, but we'll do it anyway.
See, we had the conversation, though. We talked about it. And here was our decision. We're not doing it.
Correct.
We're going straight to 16, which, you know, when you get to the gist of the debate, it's about getting more teams into the playoff for our conference, whoever our conference is. So one of the easiest ways to get more teams from your conference is just have more teams make the playoff. So no one's going to fight that 16 number, Andy.
No, that's not up for debate. That's a given. That's already been granted, signed, sealed, delivered. It's 16 is the next number starting in 2026.
So what we have, Andy, is essentially we've learned the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten, they are in charge. I mean, they literally have the voting power to establish what this is. And what's interesting is the assumption or the thought that going from 12 to 16, you do something comparable, automatic bids to the conference winners and then the rest out large. Oh, no. Big Ten and Southeast Conference said, we want to guarantee we get our teams in there. So they put out, and I realize this is when I'm using they, it was the original, both conferences I think were on board with it, although
The two power
dropped out of it. Was,
the two power conferences were originally in cahoots.
Yes. 4-4-2-2-1, which means Southeast Conference, Big Ten each get 4. Big 12 gets 2. ACC gets 2. There'd be one bid for the group of 5, you know, your
group
Boise State type team. And then 3 at-large bids. Only if it were 14 teams, but 3 if it were 16 teams.
Correct.
Just on the surface, Andy, that argument between those two models, which one do you like?
Between the 5-11 model and the 4-4-2-2-1 model?
Yes.
I like the 5-11 model because it brings back the relevance to your regular season and more of a body of work. The 4-4-2-2-1 model to me feels more like an invitational. It doesn't feel like an open playoff tournament, right? Now, having said all that, the power still lies with the Big Ten and the SEC, right? Like, they're the two alpha dogs. I mean, you've got, you know, you've got to get your champions in, right? Your 5 champions. You're going to get your champions under both models either way. I think this is a, why does this feel like they're picking from amongst two things that are, they're not identical twins, but they're twins. Do you know what I mean? Like at the end of the day, it probably is going to look very similar which model you choose.
The end result. So it becomes the 5'11 would seem more fair to all of college football. The fans think it would be more fair. But here's the argument for the Big Ten and the Southeast Conference by doing the automatic bids. This is what it allows them to do. A couple different things. For the Southeast Conference, who've been debating playing 8 conference games versus 9, they feel a little better about themselves going to 9 conference games, which automatically means more losses among their teams.
Correct.
Because, hey, no matter what, their top 4 teams get in. For the Big Ten, their argument is we want even more money. If we have our top 4 get automatic bids, that conference championship week, which in some ways is almost irrelevant, they can make it very relevant by not just saying, oh, the 4 top teams in the conference make it. We'll do a play-in game, 3 versus 6 and 4 versus 5, which a year ago would have meant you had Iowa, the definition of mediocrity, playing Ohio State for a playoff bid.
I hate that, by the way. I hate the thought of that. Because you're already going to an expanded playoff model and you're going to – how greedy – how much is enough? That's just a pure money grab, and that's – it's almost like, you know, you're already stuffed. How much more stuffing do you need? I don't like that at all on any way, shape, or form. I like your two best teams competing because there's something to play for. And I don't know, do you have to stretch to your 6 and 5 to get your 4? You just didn't play 9 conference games. That wasn't enough for you to figure it out. Then your model is flawed at the beginning.
With 18 teams in the conference, I could see 1 versus 2 because you play so many different teams. And you those two top teams, in fact, there's as good a chance as not that they didn't play each other during the regular season. So, yeah, that makes sense. But getting number 5 and 6 into the playoff talk, Andy, I like when the greed, which we know that they have, everything's about the money, but if it's in sync with a better product, like I was a strong advocate for going from the 4 to the 12 teams in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Made the football much better. I don't care that they also meant college football got more money for that.
Yeah, didn't care.
But when you start to really dilute the product in that way,
dilutes the product.
And you know, that's in the eyes of the beholder. At what point does it just come into a money grab? I think that one's a money grab. But there's also more to this. The other part was the Southeast Conference wanting to get to 9 games. The Big Ten feels they are at a competitive disadvantage in making the playoffs in the 5-11 one because they play 9 conference games and the Southeast Conference plays 8. So the Big Ten will only sign off on 5-11 if the Southeast Conference goes from 8 to 9, which they don't want to do without the automatic bid, yeah. Andy.
And these two have now split, right? They're both on different sides of this aisle now. And yes, what you've got is you've got the two big dogs now dug in and sort of fighting for their own tooth and nails. And neither one, well, the Big Ten's not wrong, right? You're not comparing apples and apples when you're talking about, you know, the 5-11 model. You're not. If it stays the same and the SEC stays at its 8-game schedule and the Big Ten plays a 9-game conference schedule, it's not. You're looking at apples versus oranges in the end when you look at what matters. You know, you look at, okay, is it 3-loss Alabama and 3-loss Michigan, for example. at the end of a season. You're looking at him in a 5-11. You're not comparing apples and apples, Jimmy. You're not. So the Big Ten's not wrong in saying that the SEC is doing what the SEC, we think we're better than everybody else, so we're going to do what we want. That's what they're doing again. And
here's the problem, though, Andy, with that discussion, that argument, is even within a conference, every Southeast Conference team only plays 8 conference games, so that is apples to apples. Well, it's not.
It's not.
Look at what Oklahoma's schedule was last year, and look at what Texas's schedule was.
Yeah, less is more when you're talking games, Jimmy. You have more control over who you can match teams up against
also,
on an 8-game schedule.
Within the Southeast Conference, you have teams like South Carolina, who one of their out-of-conference games is Clemson every year.
Yeah, good one.
Florida, they play out-of-conference games against Florida State and Miami.
Correct. You
know, that intrastate thing going on in Florida. So just even within their conference, you have a great disparity, and I'll bring it home to the Big Ten. Look at Penn State's out-of-conference schedule, and look at Ohio State playing Texas in their first game, Andy.
Right. Like, that's not a level playing field.
Ain't apples and apples there. All right, stick around. We've got Ask Andy coming up after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3, which means it's time to Ask Andy. We're going to take your questions. And if you want to ask Andy, all you got to do is download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button and away you go. One of our favorite listeners and questioners is Jimmy from Forest City. And Andy, this was a great segue. I talked about Penn State's out-of-conference schedule. Here's what Jimmy says. Dear Andy and Jim, in a year when Penn State is expected to compete for a national championship, is Penn State doing themselves a disservice with their extremely weak non-conference schedule? Other ranked teams have scheduled big games like Ohio State, Texas, LSU, Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, and Michigan, Oklahoma. What do you think, Andy?
No, because they're not an alpha dog yet. I don't think it hurts them. They win, 11. They go 11-1 or 12-0. No one's going to talk about, well, look at their weak non-conference schedule. They beat either Oregon or Ohio State or both. That's all they're going to be 11-1 or 12-0. That's going to get them where they need to go. It's going to get them either one of those records. Pretty much guarantees that they're going to be in the Big Ten championship game, playing for a championship. Who's going to look back and go, remember when they played in August and early September? No, they're not. That's not going to be relevant part of the conversation. I think I like the marquee games that you mentioned, but I don't think Penn State has to play them yet because they're not there.
Andy, I think you are, once more, I'm going to respond the way I did earlier in our show. I think you are factually correct and accurate. However, I think there's something a little more going on, which is I don't think they have to play a Texas or, a Notre Dame or someone like that. But I would still like to see them at least play a team with a pulse.
Right. Well, you're not wrong there. I don't disagree with you. Like West Virginia, Auburn,
example.
Right. Auburn before that. You don't have to play Georgia, Alabama, you don't have to play them. Get somebody, get somebody in the ACC or you know, play Boston College, somebody with a pulse.
Yes, one of their old rivals, BC something. Or Syracuse, someone like that.
Yeah, play, you know, play Oklahoma State, for goodness sake, because out of the Big 12, right?
Yeah,
I agree with you. Get a pulse, and these are this year. It's particularly embarrassing. This is embarrassing. That non-conference schedule's bad.
It's terrible. All right, let's move on. Do you remember Jason from Mahanoy City, Andy?
I do not, because I'm old.
He asked us our Mount Rushmore of rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good question.
He decided to respond. Andy.
Uh-oh.
Elvis, Beatles, The Stones, and Zeppelin. End of discussion.
So I like the Elvis call. Led Zeppelin just, yeah, that one, I never get an argument from me. The Stones is a good call as well. They're never that band for me. So they were never under consideration for me. And it's not like I don't dislike the Rolling Stones, right? Like, you know,
but they're just not your favorite.
They're just one of those, they're the Rolling Stones and they're great for me.
I'm kind of with you on that discussion, but this leads me, I don't mean to get off on the music track again, but as an aside, our buddy Bob Waters, I checked in with him. You know, he's a DJ
back
for the last 30 years.
Yeah, he's back in Central Pennsylvania now.
And for those of you who don't know who Bob Waters is, he's that announcer you hear at the start of each segment. That's Bob. He's been a DJ forever.
Great pipes.
I threw some stuff off of him, and he kind of agreed with a lot of what we said last week, Andy. But I think here's my question to you, though. And it's hard to argue with his Elvis, Beatles, Stones, and Zeppelin. My question to you is, and I'm asking this as an old guy who on my satellite radio, I have the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, I'm a little, I have it. But
I love
to me,
80s.
Anything after that.
I love the 80s.
Is there anything, Andy, anyone who deserves to even be in the argument from the 21st century?
Oh, so you're not – so you're taking the 90s out of play.
Okay, you could throw in the 90s too, but I just wanted that more official line of demarcation.
Like rock and roll. I mean, if you dip me into the 90s, it was cut short, but man, Nirvana was something special. Metallica. I think Metallica is relevant as well. Those two bands jump to my mind for it. Not Motley Crue, no.
All right, Andy, let's move on, or we'll end up in another music.
Yeah, let's not wrap it all.
Segment. All right, how about this from Jeff from McLean, Virginia? Acknowledging the issues at wide receiver. My feeling is this season comes down to how Drew Aller plays in big games. Your thoughts?
Yep. Yep. Yes, sir. 199%. Yes. And I will phrase it the way I phrase it all offseason. I'm not talking about 328 and four tutties, right? Like, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about him not being the focal point of why Penn State lost a football game, right? And in the biggest games, he's been part of the problem. He played poorly against Ohio State, right? Like, he did not play well against Ohio State. Now, Ohio State defense had a lot to do with that football game, but he didn't play abjectly bad. But they didn't score an offensive touchdown. You're the quarterback, end of story. He played well, I thought, in the Big Ten championship game against Oregon. Like, I thought that's the kind of game I'm talking about. They just weren't ready for Oregon's offense and did not play well defensively, and they lost the football game. He was the single only problem in my mind, you know, underperforming against Notre Dame. That was it. It all. In the spotlight, you move your spotlight around the stage and look for other things in that game of Penn State. And there's only one place it keeps going back to, Jimmy. So, yeah, Jeff, you're 300% now, right? Yeah, it is all about his performance inside their offense in a big game. Remember, he's got help behind him, in front of him, at tight end. I have no comment on the gentleman who will line up outside in the pass-catching role, but he's got help around him. Take advantage of it. And that it will start and end with him. Yes. Good question, Jeff.
You know what, Andy? I agree with Jeff and you on this one, but I can't just agree 100%. I got to throw in another curve, something.
Come on, Jimmy.
But this is directly related to his performance. Is I want to make sure the coaches allow him to perform. I still have ingrained in my head how creative Andy Kotelnicki has been until he got inside the 10-yard line against Ohio State. Where was creativity then? It's like they just shriveled up and said, we'll just run it up the middle.
Picking one moment in time.
Yep, I am.
And that is the exception, not the norm.
Well, and you're right. The exception is they did it against Ohio State, and there was another point in the game, I think it was towards the end of the first half of the game, when they had the ball like at midfield or so, and they could have hit the gas or hit the brakes.
They
hit the brakes.
They pumped them, Jimmy. Yes, they did.
Every other game, James Franklin hits the gas.
So one of the things I've talked about a lot, and this directly relates to it, from that point on, from that football game through the rest of the regular season, through the college football playoffs, and it's extended into this offseason, James Franklin, as the leader and head coach of Penn State, has never been better than during that time at the end of the 2024 season and into this offseason. He has never been a better football coach for Penn State than he was from that moment forward. So and they lost two football games in that stretch, Jimmy. They lost twice. And I've never seen him and the coaching staff as a whole, holistically, across the board, watching it. You're like, yeah, they're on their game. Yeah, they're you're not looking at it going, they're a mile ahead of them. They're a mile ahead of them. They're a mile. He went somewhere else. And that is where you expect him to pick up. And if they have that scenario again and pump the brakes, then you could come back on here and start sending questions and saying I was dead wrong. I don't see that happening because I think he's tipped. And I think he knows they have to put the foot on the gas and keep it on the gas.
Andy, I think you make a great point there, and I agree. And I do believe that James Franklin has shown an ability to adapt and change. I think he will learn from it. All right, Andy, Paul from Chambersburg.
Hi, Paul.
Am I naive to think that they may have gotten it right this time with the wide receivers?
Let's see, Paul. Let me reach inside my hat and see if I can pull out a rabbit, right? Like, to me, that's what it feels like. I would be less inclined to be a little smart, you know what, like in that manner, except I'm not seeing development at the position. You can struggle and there can't be, players can not find and reach their potential, et cetera, et cetera. But this is just, I'm not seeing development at player development at the position. And I'm seeing it all over the rest of this football team. I'm not seeing player development at that level. So my expectation of the wide receivers now is, until I see otherwise, they're not going to develop.
Okay, Andy. Mike from Stroudsburg says, with all this talk of change to the playoffs, what would your ideal plan be? You know what, Andy? That's how we're going to start segment number four. I'm going to ask you, Andy, what would be your ideal change for the playoffs. Andy, we are going to do that when we come back in quarter number four. Stay tuned for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. Quarter number four of our show. Andy, we're going to get back to our conversation on the playoffs. And Andy, before we get started, I want to give a little bit of background. We have so much conversation about the changes in college football. Usually it's around, you know, NIL, the transfer portal, the playoff format. But everything that I think is wrong with football, I think actually originates with the Big Ten and Southeast conferences scarfing up teams. The Big Ten taking the four teams from the Pac-12, the SEC taking Oklahoma and Texas from the Big 12. Agreed. I want to just give you a couple little numbers here, okay? And partly to support my argument and partly to just say this argument over 5-11 and 4-4-1-1, blah, 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 should be just is ridiculous. In 2024, this past season, if they had gone 16 teams,
right?
Do you know what the breakup would be of Southeast Conference, Big Ten, and so on?
So let me just give it
to Andy.
Six for the SEC.
It would have been six for the SEC.
Four for the Big Ten.
Four for the Big Ten. Three, Notre Dame, one.
What's Notre Dame count as? Yep.
Three for the ACC.
Three for the ACC, one for the Big 12.
Yep, and then Notre Dame and Boise, which sort of holds some argument. Why is the Big 12 not just accepting that two-team, you know,
making right. it?
Although I will throw this in, they would have been arguing for that 16th spot because they had the 17th and 18th spot. They would have been the first two teams out.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, let me go back one more year to 2023.
Okay.
Southeast Conference would have had seven teams.
Yeah, I was going to say seven or eight.
The Big Ten would have had five.
Five.
ACC two, Big 12 one, and then the group of five would have been, by the way, Liberty.
Liberty versus, you know, Georgia. Oof.
But here's what I think, though, is interesting. In 2023, before the teams moved conferences.
Right, yeah, they would have gotten those.
The Southeast Conference would have had five. The Pac-12 would have had three teams in it, Andy.
Yeah.
The Big Ten would have had three. The Big 12, three. Wouldn't that have been a nice, balanced playoff?
It's why you know, it's why the 12-team playoff was set up the way it was set up, because that's what it would have looked like. But we've had, you know, there's been so much. Just think, Jimmy, think back to COVID and how much college football has changed since COVID, right? That's 5 years, Jimmy. You've got expanded transfer portal, NIL, consolidations of conferences, matriculation from 4 to 12-team playoff. Now you're already talking about inside 2 years going from 12 to 16. Jimmy, this is all in 5 years. I mean, our necks are breaking from all of the change, right? It change is imminent and it's good, but this is so fast and so rapid. And it's like everything's a 30-foot wave, right? We're not getting like a nice little chop on the sea. Everything is in big, bold waves. So it's been a lot to digest and ride along with. But yeah, it's changed. And is change always good? I like to think it is, but that's not always a reality.
Well, Andy, I think a lot of it is good. I think it needed to be more than four teams.
I agree.
I think 12 was good. I think 16 will be just fine, especially now where, you know, I hear people say, oh, that's too many teams. Only a handful could actually win this. Well, I think it's different. I think going into this season, there are at least eight teams, maybe nine teams that I could rattle off to have a shot at winning a national championship. Correct. And if you only a year ago, if we had only four teams in it, we would have missed out on the best team in the country, which was Ohio State. Okay. Well,
you would have missed out on the national champion, right? And yeah. The 16 teams eliminates that bye week, which is, we know, a competitive advantage. Not for poor Oregon, because they had to play the Alpha Dog.
Andy, well, let me ask you this, because I saw in multiple places in the media, one of the other arguments for the automatic bids is if you go 5-11, oh, you're leaving too much of this in the hands of the committee. The committee is awful. Andy, last year's ranking, which, you know, got us the 12-team playoff, did the committee make a mistake anywhere?
No, I didn't see it. And the year before, they left Florida State out, right? Like, they made that hard decision. It was the right decision. They left Alabama out last year. You know what? That's the right decision. It was a hard one. They've made the hard decisions.
By the way, Andy, in 23, with Florida State out, who did they put in place of Florida State?
Oh, I can't remember right. Was it Alabama?
Yes, it was. Here's where I'm headed, Andy, is this argument the Southeast Conference is making is, oh, you don't allow for, you know, strength of schedule. Well, they just did by taking Alabama in instead of Florida State, even though Florida State was undefeated and Alabama has a loss. And I'll even add to it, Andy, this past year, the Southeast Conference argument was, oh, my goodness, you let in Indiana and you didn't put in Alabama or Ole Miss or South Carolina. Andy, very simple. If Alabama had just beaten Vanderbilt, and had two losses instead of three, don't you think they would have put in Alabama ahead of Indiana?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can't lose to Vanderbilt. It's just to say, you think they would have put Indiana if they lose to Northwestern? No! Right? Like, no chance. You can't have that kind of bad loss and have them stacked, right? You can have a bad loss, but you can't have losses stacked. And guess what? Alabama had them stacked. Three of them is stacked. You're out.
That is exactly it. And that's where I think, Andy, this whole argument that strength of schedule is not considered, because the Southeast Conference has been getting the benefit of the doubt for years within the college football rankings. And by the way, I kind of think they should, because they've had historically the best conference.
And look at the college football playoff committee. It did in their first year in 12. Did they punish the two big dogs and their conference runner-ups? Penn State, you know what I mean? They did not. And we said that before. They can't punish these teams for making the championship game and losing these marquee games in those two conferences. They can't do it. And they didn't. They didn't. And they didn't even do it in the ACC because Clemson ended up winning.
And that's where, like I said, this whole perception. And the fact is, especially at 16 teams, Andy, if you're the team on the cusp there, if you're 15th, 16th, 17th, or 18th, it's very simple. You lost games you probably should not have. You should have been, you know, a top eight team, not ranked 15th, if you truly thought you were national championship worthy. I no longer think you need to be among the top four teams. Okay, well, as we saw last year with Ohio State. But I don't think typically you got to worry too much about the 16th or 17th ranked team, whether they're, you know, worthy of winning the national championship.
And here's the difference from a fan perspective and the expansion of college football. You add four more playoff spots and you open up. Like when you looked at the college football playoff rankings, any rankings out there, you stopped at 10. right? I stopped at 10. I'm like, okay, these are – who are the 10? Okay, I'm looking at 11 and 12 as the maybes. Now you can stop – you just expanded it to 15. You just opened up a whole new world of potential teams. And you're like, now I'm going to pay – when I go to 16 teams, I'm going to be paying attention closely to all the top 15 teams, not just the top 10 teams. Very different, Jimmy. So I like the 5-11 model. I think it's less of an invitational. And I'm not sure why the Big 12 doesn't take its two guaranteed spots and runs, but I kind of respect the commissioner for what he said. He said it might not be ideal for a conference, and he's got his ADs and coaches voicing on this. He said, but it's good for college football, and it's what's fair. Those are truth. Those are words, truth. That is dead solid truth in, right there. That's transparency. It might not be ideal for our conference. Yeah, you should take the two and run. But I think the 5-11 model, at the end of the day, when you're looking at it, whether it's the three, you know, if you do the 4-4-2-2-1 and you got three of them, who's going to get two out of three of those at-large bids? Come on. Who's going to get them? ACC? No. It's going to be the SEC and the Big Ten, right?
Well, here's the argument a little bit, Andy. I think the Southeast Conference figured this out. The four guarantee, and then there's still the at-large bids. I think they're saying to themselves, we are this good. We should get seven. Four in no matter what.
Right.
But we could get more. But doing this auto bid thing,
I think
there would be a tendency maybe to say, well, the SEC, you already got your four. We'll look elsewhere. I think by leaving it open, the Southeast Conference is fine. I get the Big Ten argument. I don't think the Big Ten is as deep as the Southeast Conference.
100% agree.
You know what? Earn it.
So to me, it feels like the 4-4-2-2-1 and then three at-larges is a paint-by-numbers model. Very paint-by-numbers. The 5-11 model? Open season, baby! Week-to-week matters.
I'm with you on that completely. And the only argument the Big Ten has with the auto bid thing is, gee, we could make that championship week like play-in games for the playoffs and we could get more money for it.
Yeah, gross. You're gross.
I want it to be go out on the field, win your games, earn your way in. I think that automatic bid with that play-in game, that's when you can get a team like an Iowa with like three or four losses even on a fluke get in, a team that doesn't deserve it.
Oh, and that's who you want representing you in the conference, knucklehead thought process. You want your best teams in, not your best teams for 1 week. Come on.
And to go back to our question from Mike from Strasburg, with all the talks, what would be the ideal plan? I think the 5-11 is ideal, Andy.
I love the 5-11 because it's a blank canvas. It rewards something and blank canvas.
All right, Andy, that's the final word. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.